This is Chad Greenway, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, with producer Nate Vaughn and voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, for part two of our 2015 season recap for your Minnesota Vikings, a team that went 11-5 and a team that at the midway point, which is where we left off on part one of the Wobcast, was on fire. They were hot. They were in the middle of a winning streak, and they continued that winning streak against the Oakland Raiders, a game that I thought was a ton of fun. So let's jump back into our conversation with Paul Allen.
Teddy back to pass, zips it out to the right, caught Red Ellison at the five, reaches for the end zone, touchdown Vikings! An 11-yard touchdown hit from Teddy Bridgewater to Red Ellison, and the Vikings have the ball one time, and they lead 6-0. Play action to Latavius Murray, looks left, swings back to the right, it's intercepted by Terrence Newman! Far side of the field to the 40, and that's where he stopped Terrence Newman! Makes a handoff, Carr pats the ball, sacked! Derek Carr is sacked. Sharif Floyd, along with Everson Griffin, in on the sack. He's back to pass. He's hit. He goes down, and he's buried by Linval Joseph, finishing off what rookie Danielle Hunter started. Carr fade back right of the end zone. Terrence Newman intercepted it. His second today. Terrence Newman took it away from the Oakland Raiders. Final play up until the two-minute warning. Handoff Adrian, scoots through at the 25 to the 30. And he's loose! Adrian inside the 50 to the 40. No flags on the play. Touchdown, Vikings! An 80-yard touchdown run by Adrian Peterson. His longest of the season. And he runs the Minnesota Vikings into first place atop the NFC North.
All right, at the halfway point, you're 6-2, and you come back the next week, you hit the road, and you play the Oakland Raiders. Yeah. And what I remember about this game was it was the last stadium that I had to see in the NFL. And
it was memorable, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they did not save the best for last.
Yeah.
But it was a very good performance by the Vikings, and Adrian Peterson had a 200-yard game, which included an 80-yard touchdown run at the end of the game to seal it.
Well, the most memorable thing for me is, again, after the Brian Robinson forced fumble or fumble recovery, or maybe both in that Chiefs game, we were not taking the ball game after game after game after game after game. And it was bugging the head coach. We talked about it on Vikings game plan before Vikings games. Terrence Newman had two interceptions in that game. And that was the week, you know, where we've talked about Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater a lot. They were separated by four picks in the draft. And God bless Derek. And I hope he has a wonderful, prosperous career. But I'm totally secure with the quarterback we have here. And I think, you know, even though both in a roundabout way are going to the Pro Bowl, Derek Carr is phenomenal with certain things he does. Mm-hmm. But simply because Bridgewater does not put up the statistical numbers Carr does not mean he's every bit as good, if not better. You know, Teddy, during the course of his career, has never thrown a pick six. And Derek Carr has torpedoed games like Denver and Green Bay, where he threw one to Randall that went to the end zone and lost the game. So I remember dealing with that with the fan base all week. And the fact that the Vikings won the game rather easily was very cool.
And this game kind of encapsulated exactly what you're talking about, because Teddy was a modest but effective 14 of 22.
Right.
For 140 yards with a touchdown and how many picks?
Zero.
None.
Yeah, what was that passer rating?
It was 96.8.
We'll take it.
Yeah, and then you had Derek Carr, who completed more passes, 29 for 43 for more yards, 302.
Excellent.
Had more touchdowns too, but had how many picks?
At least two.
Two picks.
Yeah.
You know, so
sorry about your fantasy team.
So it kind of encapsulates exactly what you're talking about. Do you remember the historical stat that came from this game surrounding Adrian Peterson?
I believe Adrian Peterson tied Randy Moss for second or something for amount of touchdowns in his Vikings career.
He did that in a game earlier.
Okay.
So he got the right player.
It was his fifth 200-yard game, which put him one behind O.J. Simpson.
It was his sixth, which tied him.
Oh, which tied him.
Yeah. So he tied O.J. Simpson for most 200-yard games, and it was, Adrian was dominant on that day. Obviously a fun player to watch, and You know, you had a feel like going on the road playing the Oakland Raiders, you're a hot team, and everyone was kind of on the Raiders at that point. Like, they were a hot team too, and we felt like we were a hot team, but we were playing the road. You can't win on the West Coast.
Yeah.
It was just a very satisfying victory, I think, for the Vikings over the Raiders that day.
Let me share a 45-second story with you. In the preseason, via my Twitter account after we played the Oakland Raiders, I had chatted with well-respected and superstar play-by-play guy Greg Papa, who does what I do for the Oakland Raiders. He was on my radio show, so this is not a private conversation. And Greg, in breaking down Khalil Mack, had mentioned to me that the only thing Khalil Mack lacks is a quick twitch off the line of scrimmage that definitely may come to him during the course of his career. So I put that out on Twitter. I was trolled by the meanest Raider fans on Twitter all season. I mean, Mack would have a sack or a big game. I'd open my Twitter feed, and I'm getting destroyed by hashtag Raider Nation. All right, so then we play the Oakland Raiders. And Khalil Mack may have had a sack that day.
He did have one, yeah.
But the plan was to run at Khalil Mack and Aldon Smith. And it was a brilliant plan executed not only by the offensive staff and the team, but by coordinator Norv Turner. Mm-hmm. So I stayed silent after the game on Twitter, but I knew that I wanted to say, what did you think of Khalil Mack in that game where he had basically no impact?
Right.
So I kept quiet. Then he had like an 8-sack game later in the season. They killed me again.
I remember pulling into the parking lot on the team bus at O.co Coliseum.
Yep.
And what you see when you pull, I mean, it's intimidating.
It's unbelievable.
With the tailgaters and the face paint and the costumes. That
Bobby, you were afraid of the black hole. I had to hold your wrist when we walked by.
You did. You had to
protect me. I was nervous for you.
I was
nervous. It was your first time there.
Right. And I will always remember that experience. And I may not ever get to go back there depending on what happens.
Well, there's immortality all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have these rubes in the black hole, and they're super cool, even though we're trying to beat them. You got Tom Flores 3 booths down. Mm-hmm. You have these trophies and these banners. And, you know, even though the place is probably the worst stadium in the NFL, it is football Americana.
For sure.
It is immortality.
For sure. And speaking of football Americana, the next week we played the Green Bay Packers.
That's special.
Yeah, and it was not a very special game.
No, it was terrible.
Teddy goes play action on a deep drop. He'll fade it out to the left, and it's caught by Kyle Rudolph. 25-20, 15-10. Shotgun with a 9-6 lead. He's claustrophobic. He's flustered. And he is sacked by Everson Griffin. The Vikings have hit Aaron Rodgers and sacked him twice today. Hand off Adrian. Cuts to the left of the 5. Shakes a Clay Matthews tackle. Gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings! 6-yard touchdown run by Adrian Peterson.
What I remember about that game.
Rudy, though.
Is a long Kyle Rudolph touchdown.
Yep, Micah Hyde got knocked out of the game.
Yeah, that was a fun play to watch. That was the extent of the fun things to watch. Two things, terrible. I guess I remember from that game.
Too many sacks.
And we were behind the chains and down in distance like the whole first half, and Adrian got taken out of the game essentially.
Yep.
And then the pass that Aaron Rodgers threw to James Jones for a touchdown.
Right of the end zone, middle of the end zone. It was as good a pass as you'll ever see. Dayton Jones in that game had 2 sacks. And while I respect Dayton Jones from UCLA, he never should sack Teddy Bridgewater 2 times in a game. And that bugged me after the game. And I was excited for the opportunity to go to Lambeau Field at the end of the season to watch our favorite team redeem itself. It was an awful game, but it played into part of the story, and it needed to be there because this team has found a way to respond to certain things under Mike Zimmer that is character building. Mm-hmm. The embarrassment that was Levi Stadium, beat the Lions the next week. Handling close, tightly knit wins with class. Kansas City, Chicago, St. Louis. They get blown out here, and it was eye-opening on many levels, but it made the team better. I'm telling you, it did.
Yeah, I agree.
Toss right to rookie Tevin Coleman. He gets loose. 30, 35, 40 to the 50. Cuts to the left. Oh, the ball poked away by Anthony Barr and picked up by Antone Exum. come after Tevin Coleman ran a good 60 yards. Barr with the poke, Exum with the recovery, and the Vikings have turned over the Falcons.
First and goal from the one. I formation behind Teddy. Hand off Adrian. Shakes to the right. Reaches for the goal line. Touchdown, Vikings! Takes the snap from Person. Matt steps up in the pocket. Fires. Intercepted by the captain at the 25-yard line. And he tries to get up and run, but he was down. And the captain, Captain Munnerlyn, who played many games against Matt Ryan in the NFC South, has picked off and put a chill over the man they call Matty Ice. It's fourth and one from the Atlanta 49. Tammy in motion to the left of Ryan out of the shotgun. He takes the snap on fourth and one. Oh, he's blitzed, and he's crushed by Anthony Barr on a strip sack. And the Vikings turn over the Atlanta Falcons. Anthony Barr, well done, young man. Adrian, the single set. Toss to Adrian following the three tight ends. Turns it up to the 35 to the 30. Runs to a first down.
And in the loose inside the 10 to the 5. Touchdown, Vikings. 35-yard touchdown run by Adrian Peterson. And the Vikings seal the deal.
Going on to the next week, it was a game in Atlanta against the Falcons. And I guess kind of what I remember about this game, I'll give you two things. One is a bigger picture thing. This was when I first kind of started to feel the like it was crunch time when it got down to your record. You know, we're 7-3 going into this game in very good position in the NFC, but we were in a tough division with Green Bay.
Yep.
And Seattle, we all knew, was going to have a late season surge. So really, you thought Seattle was going to get a wild card. And there was really just, you had to win your division or you had to sneak in as a wild card. And I really felt like this was the first crunch time game.
Yeah.
And then on a micro level, the play that Anthony Barr made in the first quarter, where he was knocked to the ground and Tevin Coleman got around the edge.
Oh, yes.
Went down the sideline.
And here comes Anthony.
46 yards.
Wow.
Anthony Barr gets up, sprints down, catches him, and punches the ball out to force a fumble that we recover. Those are the two things I remember about that
game. Well, there's a couple of things I remember from that game. Barr, by the way, had a strip sack on Matt Ryan late in the game that pretty much sealed the deal. I think the two most prevalent things for me from that Atlanta game was the level of excitement I had during the week knowing Xavier Rhodes had Julio Jones the entire game. And the fact that that had been the plan at TCF Bank Stadium the previous year, and it worked, and it worked again. I mean, Julio is upper echelon, the VEN has learned. And Xavier just blanketed him the entire game. Secondly, that morning for you and I, because Wabi and I get up between 5:30 and 6 in the morning. Of course, we don't stay in the same hotel room, but we like to go have coffee and start talking about the game.
Right.
It's an early game, so that means we have an early bus. We get to the stadium 3 hours before the game. And the cab driver took us to the coffee place, might have been Starbucks, and we're in getting our coffee, and this thing's like 40 blocks from the hotel. We come out, cab driver's gone.
He left us.
And we're like, what's going on here? The cab driver left, and we had to walk back to the hotel. But it was also a time of the year in Minnesota where it was starting to get cold, and it was like 55 or 60 degrees in Atlanta, and we just like took a deep breath, and the peach stayed, and we just loved it. And it was just part of the fiber of what makes these jobs that we do. We're so privileged and blessed to even be able to tell a story that a cab driver forgot about us and left.
Right, and it added positively to the experience in roundabout way. And then we watched our team win 20-10. You know, another great defensive
effort. Well, see, that popular TV show, The Walking Dead, is filmed in the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
The only problem with that morning was there were things that you saw in Atlanta that reminded you of The Walking Dead, and you got scared. So I had to give you a piggyback ride for about 16 blocks.
I was tired and scared.
Yeah, and I'm used to carrying the Vikings Radio Network broadcast on my shoulders, not you.
Right. Well, get used to it. The following week, something not very good happened.
Was it Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wilson shotgun play action, rolls out to the right, and he's sacked by Brian Robinson at the 23-yard line. Goes on a deep drop, passes left, caught Wallace, turns it up, first down, 50, 45, 40, gets the sidelines, 35, and he's forced out of bounds right around the 35, by Cam Chancellor. 25-yard connection, Bridgewater to Wallace.
Wilson's out of the shotgun. Rawls to his left, play action. Danielle Hunter's all over Russell Wilson, and he sacks him. They finally hit Russell. Back at the 40-yard line, a loss of six, making it 3rd and 9, Danielle Hunter.
He left to Patterson, walks up to it, 2 yards deep. Here he comes, angling out to the right, to the 10, to the 15, to the 20. Cordero Patterson has the kicker to beat, and he does. He streaks inside the 50, and Cordero Patterson is gone. A 102-yard kick return and a brief moment of positivity for the Vikings on this murky Minneapolis Sunday.
Yeah.
Make it stop.
Like, the only good thing from that game, two good things, I guess, off of what you keep talking about.
Yeah.
You know, we always found a way to respond. When something bad would happen, we would respond, mm-hmm. Find a way to make that better, mm-hmm. like make ourselves better because of that. So this was obviously one of those situations. The Seahawks come into Minnesota and win 38-7. Not good.
But and we forced that Thomas Rawls fumble early and it looked good.
Yeah. Cordero had a kickoff return touchdown.
That was great.
That was like the only good thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. There was nothing good that came out of the game with the exception of the fact that it gave the Vikings an opportunity. Seriously, in what everybody thought, most people thought was against all odds on the short week, to respond with positivity. And funny, per usual, they did.
Right.
Off Adrian on 2nd and 1. Stutter steps to the left, runs for the first down to the 5, and he struts into the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings! And that's Adrian Peterson's 100th regular season touchdown, and the Vikings grab the lead. Arizona rushes 6, dump right, caught Asiata, turns it up 35-40 to the 45-50. Excellent play call and a first down for the Vikings. Bridgewater to Asiata. Palmer out of the shotgun, takes the snap, and Danielle Hunter sacks him back at the 43. Danielle Hunter, the rookie from LSU, sacks the veteran and knocks the Cardinals out of field goal range. Teddy play action. He'll fire out to the left. Screen to Ellison. Great play. 30, 35, 40. Ellison to the 45, to the 50. Angles back to the right. Shakes a tackle to the 35. Rhett Ellison with an explosive catch and run of 36 yards. The longest of his career. Palmer play action. He's hit and he's sacked by Arizona native Everson Griffin. 3rd and goal from the 7. Teddy takes the snap, looks out to the right, swings it to the left, man wide open, touchdown Vikings! It's Mike Wallace with a touchdown. That's his first touchdown in more than 2 months.
This next game was every team plays on Thursday night. You have to play on Thursday night at least one time.
Yep.
And, you know, teams hate that, right? Because of the short week and I mean, especially if you're on the road in that game. And here we are playing a very rugged, physical Seattle Seahawks team, turning around and literally 3 days later, 72 hours after that game
and
against Seattle, we got to get on a plane to go to Arizona. You know, and that's tough for a not tough for you and I. No one feels bad for us, but that's tough for the football team.
Correct.
And we had to do that against the Arizona Cardinals, who wound up winning the NFC West and were one of the better teams in the NFC and played eventually in the NFC title game. But I think in a weird way, you came out of that Arizona game kind of being like, okay, I feel pretty good about this, actually, even though we lost.
Big time. Terrence Newman and Anthony Harris at safety. Anthony Barr and Harrison Smith played 11 plays in the Seattle game, and they both got hurt. And that started a string of time that we were going to have to deal with not having Linval Joseph, Anthony Barr, and Harrison Smith. And again, just more building foundation for not only the now, but the future of Vikings football, because the team responded beautifully. Adrian Peterson had an awesome touchdown run. It was a shorty, but the move he put on Patrick Peterson, I mean, it may not have Cam Newton blushing with what he just did to Arizona, but we certainly loved it. And you know, here now you got Terrence Newman and Anthony Harris playing safety. You have you have Edmund Robinson, the rookie 7th rounder from Newberry. He's having to play basically the entire game. The offensive line had given up a million sacks to Seattle, and now you're going against Calais Campbell, and Honey Badger was healthy at that time. And the fortitude and the class with which the Vikings handled that game, was a game where we left it. I know there was a strip sack at the end and the team lost, but the I left it just thinking, wow, boy, is this team getting good.
You had a cool call in that game. It was Adrian Peterson's short touchdown. It was the 100th touchdown of his career. Mm-hmm. I remember obviously sitting next to you. You had a cool call there. Uh-huh. And then there was late game, I don't want to say controversy, but a lot of people sharing their opinions on what the Vikings should have done at the end of that game. If you remember on the strip
the field
sack,
goal
you could have kicked.
Oh, that's right.
You know, and, you know, I think it's one of those where there's not a right way to do that. I think in hindsight, of course, it's always 20-20. But if you remember, that was kind of the talker coming out of that game.
Well, there was a pass play to the right, the Vikings sidelines part of the field, where I don't think one or two guys ran the route the right way, and it was an incomplete pass. That pass should have been completed. And if everything is done right there, we're even closer, gets out of bounds, it's a little easier to make the decision. I was pissed off after that game because the touchdowns Arizona scored were fluky, weird touchdowns. Yes. Both were Michael Floyd, right? No, one was John Brown. And there was a bad angle taken by a cornerback on one of them. And then poor Anthony Harris, undrafted from Virginia, is getting trucked by Larry Fitzgerald for like 20 yards. And it was an eye-opening experience for Anthony, who I think is going to be really good eventually. But their touchdowns were weird. It wasn't like it was some well-orchestrated, beautiful Bruce Arians drive. They were weird touchdowns that never should have happened and were coming off this awful Seattle game. So I firmly believe that the Vikings had gotten by Seattle in the playoffs, they would have beaten Arizona in the next round. We would have gone to Charlotte and thrown caution to the wind.
I think, the loss to Green Bay at home and then the blowout to Seattle and then the way the Vikings played against Arizona, I think that made them a better team. And then we saw it in the next two games.
Wobby, it was a galvanizing moment for this team.
Indeed.
It was a galvanizing moment because the players will never say, we don't think we have a chance. To a man, off what happened against Seattle, short week, travel, not much practice, Arizona hot. The level of confidence here was down, and they responded so wonderfully and almost won.
Yeah, I think it did make him better, and then the next week was the home game against Chicago.
Here we go.
Teddy takes the snap from Berger, looks left, fade left to the end zone, and it's caught! Touchdown, Vikings! That's Stephon Diggs' third touchdown this year and his first touchdown since week 8 against the Chicago Bears. And the Vikings take a 6-0 lead. Big blitz by the Bears. Teddy dump right, caught McKinnon 15-10. Shakes a tackle at the 5, reaches for the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings! There is a flag on the play, and if this stands, it is Jerick McKinnon's first National Football League touchdown. Takes the snap, 1st and 10, goes on a deep drop. He's hit! It's a strip sack! It's Vikings ball! It was a strip sack by Brian Robinson! Bridgewater back to pass, fires right, caught Diggs, hits to the far side, 25-20-15, angles to the left, 10-5, reaches for the end zone! To the left. Teddy takes the snap, looking for his fourth touchdown pass, steps up, runs, inside the 10, to the 5, flag on the play, touchdown, Teddy! Alshon Jeffries back in the game. Oh, it's an interception! Cutler dumped it over the middle, and it was picked off by Justin Tratto. Teddy play action, rolling out to the right. Teddy pumps, dumps, caught Zach Line, reaches for the end zone, touchdown!
Teddy had 4 touchdown passes and ran.
Here we go. He had 5 on it.
Ran a touchdown.
Yep.
And Teddy had 5 on it that game. 17 of 20 for 231 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, 1 touchdown run.
The lasting impression from the way you laid that game out plays into a common thread that makes Mike Zimmer not only the best head coach for many reasons with whom I've worked since I started here in 2002. And that's with all due respect to Mike Tice. I'm very fond of him. I've known him since 95. Mm-hmm. Brad Childress almost got the team to the Super Bowl. Leslie Frazier is one of the most lovable human beings you'll ever meet. But with what Zimmer did with this team from 2013 to 2014, to a certain extent defensively was miraculous. And then from 14 to 15, it got even better. Mm-hmm. Zimmer is a fantastic coach and one of the best coaches in the league. What I like most about, I shouldn't say most, but what I like a lot about what he does, when the Vikings beat Detroit, the second time against Detroit, they faced adversity, they were down, and I was very impressed with how they came back and won. When they beat Chicago, they narrowly beat Chicago. Second time they played Chicago,
oh, yeah,
they beat them by markedly more points and looked a lot better. Right. So the common thread we have here with Team Zimmer is second time around, you don't want to mess with him because they get better in every situation.
Yep. I mean, at one point in the Bears game, Paul, we were up 31-10. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, 38-17 looks like a blowout, but I mean, it was 31-10 at one point in this game, and Teddy was on fire.
And another great thing about the Vikings, Wobby, I mean, again, you have the Santa Clara disaster, and then they start winning games. They're killed by Green Bay and killed by Seattle. The Arizona game was the galvanizing moment, but we hadn't seen the team blow teams out. Now, you know, where everybody says in cliched fashion, play your best in December, play your best at the end. Now we're killing teams at the end of the year. Seriously, Zimmer's unbelievable.
Right. Part of a quirky stat that happened in that game, and then subsequently the season concluded and the stat stood. There was a Viking who had an interception in that game. Who doesn't, you know, you wouldn't normally think he gets interceptions.
Oh, yeah. Justin Tretto.
Okay. Now.
Yeah, yeah, two.
That was his second interception of the season.
That's awesome.
And Justin Tretto, valuable member of the special teams group.
Yeah.
And obviously you can plug him in on defense on a rotational basis.
Yeah.
Tretto had two interceptions this season.
Yeah.
Do you remember ever a player having more interceptions than tackles in a season? Because that's what Justin Tretto did.
No, that's an absolute statistical anomaly. Quite honestly, I hope we don't have to see it again because you'd like your defensive lineman to have more tackles than picks. But wow, that's unbelievable that he accomplished that.
Yeah.
Manning out of the shotgun on first and 10, facing a rush, steps up, fires it, and it's tipped, and it's intercepted! It's intercepted by Andrew Sendejo, and he's taken down at the 50-yard line. That's the second career interception for Andrew Sendejo. Bridgewater under center, he'll pass into the base, straight drop, fire center, the field caught! Touchdown, Vikings! Eli on third and short, looks the way of Randall, fires, intercepted at the 35-yard line, it's Harrison Smith, 15-10, touchdown! And for Harrison Smith, he just set a Minnesota Vikings record for interception touchdowns, that's number four. Eli Manning goes back to pass, whips it out to the left, and it's intercepted, why wouldn't it be? Picked off by the captain, turns it up to the 20, 15, 10, 5, Captain Mutterlin! The Minnesota Vikings have picked off Eli Manning three times tonight. Third and goal, toss right to Jerick McKinnon, turns it up to the 10 to the 5, looks for the end zone, and he gets it! Touchdown, Vikings! Hand off Jerick McKinnon, stutter steps to the line of scrimmage, now he busts it out to the left of the 40, to the 50, and Jerick McKinnon is loose! Inside the 10, touchdown! It's a 68-yard touchdown for Jerick McKinnon, and the Vikings hang a 48 on the New York Giants.
All right, so you parlay that 38-17 victory into another blowout win, this time over the New York Giants in Week 16.
Weird week against the Giants.
Sunday Night Football.
Odell Beckham.
Yep, no Odell Beckham Jr. because of an incident that happened the week before against the Carolina Panthers. The Vikings win 49-17. What I remember about this is a great quarterback in Eli Manning, and the Vikings and Mike Zimmer just completely owned him.
Yeah, and Eli Manning has had nothing but struggles against the Vikings during his career. The A topic here was the way the Redskins-Eagles game played out Saturday night. And when the Redskins won that game, the Giants were bounced from the playoffs.
Yeah.
So now you have a team that all week has had to deal with not having its best player. Oh, and by the way, it's eliminated from the playoffs the night before. It was an extremely cold night. The Giants, the Vikings were a 90% chance to win that game into the game, in my opinion, because of the circumstances around it. But you know, like some of these old Vikings teams with which we've dealt, you know, the 7-8-9 win bits, that quite frequently games like that would be tightly contested in the fourth quarter. Again, it wasn't the case in this game because Zimmer had this thing crescendoing in perfect fashion.
Yep. It was freezing cold that night. You know, that was a little bit of a talking point. A few other things from there. Harrison Smith had a pick six and is now the Vikings career record holder in pick sixes.
Yep. And I think that was his first game back after missing X amount of games.
Yeah, it might have been.
Welcome back, Harry.
Adrian Peterson scored a touchdown, and it was his 10th rushing touchdown of the season, which put him in a tie with Emmett Smith behind only LaDainian Tomlinson for most seasons with 10 or more rushing touchdowns. He has 8. That was a cool part of that game.
LT has 9, right?
And LT has 9. And then we celebrated after that game because that win clinched a playoff spot for the Vikings and then set up the division title game the following week.
So. And we won in a nationally televised game, which had been problematic around here.
Michelle Tafoya loving it.
Yep.
All right. So that brings us to the final game of the regular season.
Yep.
And
where if we win, we know we get Seattle, and we were like, big deal.
Right.
Fake punt, Paul! Right to Thielen, heads to the far side. He's to the 50, he's to the Packers 40, to the 30, angles to the right, to the 25, taken down at the 20. A fake punt snap to Adam Thielen, scorches Green Bay for 43. He'll give it to Adrian, who sprints up the middle, lowers the head, second effort to the goal line. Touchdown, Vikings! A tough love touchdown by the best back in the NFL. He takes the snap. The Vikings blitz. Rodgers hit as he throws. Incomplete. He was hit as he threw.
Blown the whistle. It might be a fumble.
It's the captain. 40-30-20. 10-5. The captain has become a general. 6 on the play clock. Rodgers takes the snap. Goes on a 5-step drop. Flushed out to the right. Looks into the end zone. Fires to the end zone. Intercepted by the Minnesota Vikings. That's Xavier Rhodes with his second career interception. 3rd and 3. Rodgers fires left. Caught Richard Rodgers. Stopped at the 38-yard line by Xavier Rhodes. They have no timeouts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And Rodgers gets the playoff according to everybody. Back to pass. He steps up middle of the field. Fires deep left to the end zone. Knocked away. And the Minnesota Vikings are NFC North Division champions. And the Minnesota Vikings flood the field to celebrate a tightly contested game with their border rivals. The final score, 20-13 Minnesota. They win the division in a spine tingler.
And it was a chance to knock the Green Bay Packers off the NFC North throne, win a division title for the first time since 2009, and in a big spot in prime time. The game was flexed to NBC's Sunday Night Football.
Tafoya again.
Right. So huge spot, huge moment in their house. And the Packers with a valiant effort, but Teddy Bridgewater, Adrian Peterson, and Captain Munnerlyn, too much to handle because Captain had a touchdown.
A little scoop and score for the Captain, his 6th defensive touchdown, I believe, in his career. The thing that left the most lasting impression for me outside of winning the NFC North for the first time since 2009 is that I had never seen Aaron Rodgers operate from under center as much as he did in the first half of that game. Mm-hmm. And that's because they were having some offensive line turmoil. They had to use left guard Josh Sitton at left tackle, and it didn't work. And so, therefore, they got very conservative. I had never seen Aaron play that conservatively. The Vikings finished the season a better overall team than the Green Bay Packers. The Vikings were very worthy of becoming division champions, and that also finished the season with a 5-3 road record, the first winning record on the road since 1998. So it just, we were going great guns into the postseason. I'm still very happy the team won the division, even knowing Seattle was next.
And another thing I remember from that game, you did a Lambeau leap after the game. One. Well, yeah, you made it. You hurt your knee on the way up.
I hurt my knee. Fans poured beer into my mouth. Nate Vaughn got conservative on the VEN, didn't want to put it on between the lines, worried about people getting mad at him. And remember, a member of their operations team grabbed your arm and said, this is our stadium. Get out of here.
Right. And I said, well, this is our division. See you later.
That's nice. That's a good little box. Yeah. And I tried that Lambeau leap. Did you like my 3-inch vertical?
Yeah, it was good. You hurt your knee, but you made it up there. The Vikings fans embraced you.
That was great.
And we won the division. We finished 11-5, and we went 5-1 in the NFC North.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. It set up our playoff game, though. And I don't have any notes for the playoff game to go over. I just want to kind of leave it open-ended, and we'll just talk through that playoff game. Obviously, it was an incredible battle that ended in heartbreaking fashion.
It still pains me the way it ended. You know, 2009 was more heartbreak for me than the way this ended. I was flabbergasted in calling the game losing kick. I couldn't believe it. And I mean, you were in the locker room. I wasn't. I mean, there was more anger from my standpoint simply because of the percentage, playing the percentage game, just knowing that kick was at worst case scenario, a 95% make. And Blair, again, like I said earlier, you know, Blair has had a very good way of winning back the fan base when they've given up on him. Mm-hmm. And again, think about it. He was, I think, a 65% kicker in his final year at Georgia. He went like 2 of 5 at Ole Miss. Nobody wanted Blair Walsh. We drafted him. We were right. He went to the Pro Bowl. He set a bunch of rookie records. 5 of 11 in the preseason. Fan base is done with him. We need a new kicker. Walk off at Soldier Field. Walk off against St. Louis. There's absolutely no way this kick can be missed. And in knowing how tough it is to play the Seattle Seahawks, forget the 38-7 or whatever it was disaster earlier in the year. They're just like one of the toughest teams in the last 10 years to play because they come at you from so many different angles. And we played with them tooth and nail every step of the way. And the plan Zimmer, George Edwards, and the staff had for Russell Wilson was outstanding. The wind was an issue that game. We played that part of it right. Adrian Peterson coming into the game, you knew this was not the game that I'm going to scream he's loose. He's not going to get some 80-yard bit. But just make sure your runs are 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and not minus 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
And that wasn't a problem. Adrian had positive yardage for the most part. And we still lost. I still can't believe we lost.
I mean, you know, the defense obviously kept the Vikings in the game for the most part. Because we didn't score a touchdown. It was 3 Blair Walsh field goals that got us to 9 points. But when we needed it the most, Teddy Bridgewater showed up.
Yeah, how about
that? And drove the offense down the field.
How about that? I mean, you look at Seattle, a team defensively full of stars. And, you know, I don't know what the plan was, but after watching it back and kind of reliving it, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to try to run against by far the number one rush defense in the NFL, a team that hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher since week 14 of 2014, Jamal Charles, something like that.
Wow.
Well, yeah, you're going to try, but again, take a few yards positively and limit the negative yardage. We did it. What are you going to do? You're going to try to pick on Jeremy Lane and or Deshaun Shedd, their second and third corners? Of course, occasionally, but Mr. Carroll knows that those are places teams are going to go to,
right.
So they cover it up. All right, so let's see. Let's pass and run at Earl Thomas. That's not going to work.
No, thank you.
He blew up Jerick McKinnon early in the game just because Earl is elite. All right, let's throw at Richard Sherman.
Nope.
Well, that's not going to work. I mean, Richard's upper echelon. So now you have Cam Chancellor, and this is with all due respect to Cam because he's elite too, but Cam had missed games due to injury. So let's go at Cam. They had 2 nice runs at 31. They had a play early in the game to Jerick McKinnon where Chancellor was beaten and he held McKinnon and it wasn't called. That's okay. Late in the game, let's go at Chancellor. They go at Cam and a pass interference, which was legit on Rudolph, was called against Cam. Let's move the chains. Now we're going to go at Cam again with Rudolph, 24 yards, tap dancing the sidelines. And there we are.
Yep.
So, I mean, when you're playing a team like that, it's so difficult for most teams to get around the immortality nature of that defense. Yet, at the most key times, Teddy found a way to do it. And his pass to Rudolph was a thing of beauty.
Right.
And yet we still lost.
Yep.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a tough way to end it. Very difficult to watch the following week of playoff games, you know, the divisional round, knowing that that was our game we should have been in.
Yeah, once the Green Bay-Arizona game was over, I was cool that next morning. Yeah. Then I made the mistake of coming to Winter Park Monday and talking to you, Bob Hagen, and Norv Turner, and then I was depressed again for another 5 days.
Right.
But outside of that, you just needed to get through that game, that Arizona-Green Bay game, because I legitimately feel, man, we had a 95% chance to be there.
Yep.
And it's
all right, let's go to the offseason. I want to ask you two questions. One, what's the climate? What's the environment in the NFC North in terms of how people talk about our division? Is the NFC North still Green Bay's division? Will people pick Green Bay to win the North in 2016, or will they be on the Vikings now?
They will overinflate the importance of having Jordy Nelson back, and having Jordy Nelson back is huge. But the progression of the 2014-15 Minnesota Vikings is also huge. Third year for the head coach, the quarterback going indoors is 73.5% completion. You have Diggs in his second year, Kendricks in his second year, Barr in his third, Harrison Smith's hitting the peak of his career. And I think the Vikings should come into the season as tepid favorites to win the NFC North. That's how I look at it. Into 2015, I picked the Vikings to go 11-5. Oh, good for you. I was right. But I also had Green Bay 12-4 and winning the division before the Jordy Nelson bid. So I'm completely comfortable recognizing when I think somebody may have a better record than us. The Bears with a new offensive coordinator, we'll see how that works out. You know, Adam Gase and Jay Cutler had a nice thing going together. They have Alshon Jeffrey unsigned right now. And the Lions will be a factor here and there. I think, I'm not going to say it's the Vikings division to lose, like they're miles clear, but we will absolutely have a great chance to win the division again.
I think it's an important talker, though, because not to mow Coach Zimmer's yard here, but don't you think it matters for Coach Zimmer in terms of how he sets his team's mentality of if you're the favorite or if you're not? Are you the hunted or are you the hunters?
Yeah.
That matters, don't you think, to how Coach Zimmer wants to kind of just set the team up mentally for the season?
Well, after we lost that tightly contested game at Arizona, we became the hunted because those in the know knew what the team was facing with the injuries and the challenge of the short week. And those in the know looked at the Vikings and probably said, look out for that team. This team's getting good in a hurry. And defensively, it has become one of the four or five best teams in the NFL. I don't mind being the hunted. I'm not going to hear from anybody in-house or outside of Winter Park. I don't want to hear the soft peddling of the, it's difficult to win 11 games. You never know how the schedule is going to work out. You don't know about injuries. We just went through a season with five preseason games, a Monday night football start, get back Tuesday at 6 a.m, division game on a short week.
Yeah.
Seattle here, short week at Arizona, close at Lambeau. Oh, by the way, we also went through the majority of December without Linval Joseph, Anthony Barr, and Harrison Smith, three of the best 10 players on the team. I've seen injury. I've seen rough schedule. I've seen early bye. I've also seen 11 wins. So 10 wins is my bottom for the 2016. 11, 12, or 13 are probably what I'm expecting.
Cool. Hyperbole aside, honestly, and from your standpoint, practically, the new stadium opening, what does that mean?
I think it means a lot for the offense. I think the quarterback in his third year will settle in more into what we thought he would be at the end of the 2014 season. Teddy orchestrated the offense as part of a team that won 11 games. So he's part of that too. And back to our conversation about the Raiders game, you know, I think it's dramatically shortchanged how Teddy does not lose games for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's clear the offensive staff here has worked very hard with Bridgewater on making sure you don't put the team in a compromising position so that you lose the game. Teddy's very good with that. Teddy's going to be a lot better. Diggs is going to be a lot better. The crowd's going to be unbelievable at US Bank Stadium. It will be Metrodome loud. And they got loud at the end of the TCF Bank Stadium run, but there were games at TCF Bank Stadium where the crowd, maybe because it's outdoors, was just not super loud. For the Giants game, the Bears, Giants, and Seahawks, they were. And it was unbelievable, and I think it changed the game to a certain extent. So I expect the Vikings to have an unbelievably good year next year. I'm excited for free agency. I'm excited for the draft, and I'm excited to finally not take question mark, where do we go, but to take good and make it better.
All right, last question. How do you want to open U.S. Bank Stadium? The Vikings' home opponents are the division opponents, obviously, and the following teams. Indianapolis, Houston, Dallas, the Giants, and Arizona. So how do you want to open U.S. Bank Stadium?
Well, we have the division teams too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I'd like to get Green Bay there.
Okay.
I'd like that to be the first one.
Okay.
I'd like the place to be as hype as it's going to be. You know, in fact, I'd like to play Green Bay the first home game and the final game of the season at Lambeau.
Okay.
I'd like to see the schedule shake out that way. I think it would be phenomenal. You know, you look at Indianapolis and Houston and the Lions and the Bears, and you might be able to think you can hand pick a win. It's not that easy. So I'd like it to be Green Bay with Jordy Nelson, and I want to see where we stand.
That'd be a lot of fun. All right. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. It was fun.
It was fun. You talk, for 3 hours a day straight on your radio show, FM 100.3, The Fan, mm-hmm. KFAN. But you came here right after that and you talked more. So your time's valuable, but we appreciate you coming in for all the work you do all season. Vikings game plan, calling Vikings games. Between the Lines was a ton of fun, and I'm not saying goodbye or anything like that, but this is kind of we're putting a cap on the 2015 season. It was a ton of fun, and you're a big reason why it was fun.
I wanted to share the story of me having to hold your wrist when we walked by the black hole because your glasses were getting all foggy, you were scared, you were trembling in your loafers, and this was my only forum to share that story, so thank you.
Well, I was nervous that game because it was my first time there.
Yes.
And so I was nervous, and it's the intimidating black hole. And we got there on the buses, and like the smoke was coming up from the black hole in Raider Nation tailgating lots, and like they had flags up like that were whipping in the wind, kind of like when pirate ships are coming into port.
The autumn wind is a raider.
Yeah, and I had sweet Al Gal, my wife, was there going to the game alone.
Yeah,
and so I was nervous about that.
That's a great husband-like move, by the way.
To send her to the Raiders.
Send her into the black hole by herself.
I know.
I mean, seriously, was Abu Ghraib not available?
Right, no, it wasn't. So that was my next best option. That was also a two-day road trip for us,
yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah, it was very romantic.
We went out on Friday.
That was great.
And so I'll always remember that game. Uh-huh. It might be our last time going to that stadium. Who knows what's going to happen with Oakland.
No doubt.
The Golden State Warriors arena was right across the street. We didn't get to see Steph Curry play, but that's also an area where you live for a long time.
5 years, 1993 to 98, went to Raiders games, went to Oakland Athletics games.
Yeah.
I'm very fond of that part of the country, and I'm very fond of being blessed enough to work with the Vikings Entertainment Network and call the games for the team and the fan.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Wabi.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. That is your recap of the 2015 season with Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, and yours truly. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, and PA, I'm your host, Mike Wabshaw. That's it for this edition of the Wabcast, but we're going to come back next week. We'll talk a little Senior Bowl. We'll talk a little Combine, a little draft, maybe some free agency. Lots to talk about coming up on the Vikings calendar. So please be sure to join us again next week. Until then, talk to you next time.
So, yeah. Yeah.